Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast. The RTC features only the best OTR on our live stream, where we also invite you to tune in and enjoy the Radio Book Channel and the RTC Music Channel, all found at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Thanks for joining us on this, the RTC Weekly Podcast. And today's theme is going to be radio shows that became television shows. We have three candidates up here for you to listen to, and they're all popular. Armis Brooks, Ozzie and Harriet, and Red Skelton. We'll start off with Armis Brooks. This is called Keys to the School from 1949.
Palmolive soap, your beauty hope, and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair bring you Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. Not very many of us like to get up early in the morning, but Our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, doesn't seem to mind at all.
No, in fact, I get quite a kick out of waking up in the morning, because it offers proof positive that I managed to live through the day before. However, last Wednesday, my landlady, Mrs. Davis, woke me at what seemed like an excessively early hour.
Connie, get up, Connie.
Why?
Because it's 6 a.m. and I'm leaving the house early, and there are several things I want you to do for me.
Like what, for instance?
Like feeding our cat Minerva at 7:05.
But why don't you feed her now?
Why, Connie, you ought to know better than that. Minerva never gets up until 7.
I'm sorry, I lost my head. That cat certainly doesn't lead a dog's life. But why are you leaving the house so early, Mrs. Davis?
I've got to visit my sister Angela. I received a message from her during the night.
Oh? I hope nothing's wrong.
No, she's quite well, she said. She just wants to see me.
She must have called pretty late. I didn't hear the phone ring at all.
Oh, she didn't phone, Connie.
Was it a wire?
No.
Special delivery letter?
No.
Walkie-talkie? Pigeon? Before I use up my 20 questions, how did you hear from your sister?
Well, you know how absent-minded Angela is.
Yes.
And you probably haven't noticed it, but lately I've been growing quite absent-minded, too.
I've noticed it.
Last night, I finally arrived at a point where Angela and I were tuned to the same wavelength. She reached me by mental telepathy.
How did she come over, AM or FM?
You can joke if you like, but I know just as surely as I'm standing here that Angela wants to see me immediately. So I'll have to leave right after breakfast.
All right, Mrs. Davis. It'll do you good to get out of the house for a change anyway. Now, what did you want me to do for you?
Do for me?
Yes. You said when you woke me that there were several things you wanted me to do?
I did.
Yes. In connection with your leaving the house this morning?
But I didn't leave the house this morning.
I know, but you're going to.
I am.
I must be tuned in on the wrong wavelength. I'll see you at breakfast, Mrs. Davis.
Well, how did you like your breakfast, Connie?
Fine, Mrs. Davis. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll get ready to go to school. Mr. Boynton's picking me up.
Oh, good. Well, I'll finish these dishes before I go, Connie.
Oh, I'll get it. Coming! Well, if it isn't our school custodian, Mr. Jensen.
If it isn't your school custodian, Mr. Jensen, then what?
What?
When you opened the door, you said, well, if it isn't our school custodian, Mr. Jensen.
Mm-hmm.
Then I said, if it isn't your school custodian, Mr. Jensen, then what? Catching people saying things that don't take any real meaning is a hobby of mine.
Oh, that's very cute, Mr. Jensen. Won't you come in?
Oh, thank you, Miss Brooks.
Oh, that's better.
What's better?
Look, Mr. Jensen.
Look at what?
I don't mean look, I mean listen. I'm in kind of a hurry.
What kind?
mind to leave the house and get to school. Therefore, your hobby doesn't have the charm for me it might have at some other time.
I guess you've got me there.
Where? Oh, great. You've got me doing it. Never mind, Mr. Jensen. What can I do for you?
Well, you can open up the school this morning, if you will, Miss Brooks. I talked to Mr. Conklin on the phone, and he said to give you the key.
Oh.
Here it is. It's this fat little devil with the blue ribbon on it.
Oh, I thought that was your tie. Oh. You mean the key to the school. But why don't you open up as usual?
Oh, because I have another stop to make before I go to school that might cause me to be tardy.
Another stop?
Yes, the maternity hospital. My wife is going to have a baby.
Why, Mr. Jensen?
Well, I don't know, just because I got... It's our sixth child, Miss Brooks.
Honestly, Mr. Jensen?
Well, I didn't steal them, if that's what you mean. Well, I'd better be getting along now. My wife will be expecting me. She's sort of used to having me around.
I imagine she is, Mr. Jensen. Please accept my heartiest best wishes for both of you.
Oh, thank you, Miss Brooks. May I remind you to be prompt in opening the school? I wouldn't want Mr. Conklin and the students to be kept waiting.
Now, they won't be, Mr. Jensen. And be sure and let me know whether your wife has a boy or a girl.
I will, Miss Brooks.
Good day, Mr. Jensen.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
I'll just put this key on the hall table here so I don't forget it.
Oh, Connie, will you come into the kitchen a moment, please?
Yes, Mrs. Davis.
I'm all finished with the dishes, and I'd like to leave immediately. Now, Connie, when you wake Minerva, be sure to wake her gently. She's been quite sensitive about noise ever since she fell into my new Speed Queen washing machine.
I don't know why. It did a very good job on her. But I'll be careful not to upset her, Mrs. Davis.
Oh, here's Minerva now. Good morning, dear. How did you sleep?
Meow, meow.
I'm glad. Well, I'll be running along now. You'll give Minerva her milk, won't you, Connie?
Oh, certainly, Mrs. Davis. Remember me to your sister Angela, if you remember.
I will, dear. Put a little cream in with the milk. She likes it that way.
All right, Mrs. Davis. That is, if we have any cream. Here we are. No. No cream left. She'll have to drink it black. I'll just pour the milk into this dish. There you are, Minerva. There isn't any cream left, Minerva. We'll have cream for you tomorrow. Drink that milk or I'll turn on the washing machine. Do it.
I'll get it. I'm on my way out anyway. Oh, come in, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, thanks, Mrs. Davis. You're leaving the house so early?
Yes. Let's see if I've got everything. My purse, my hat, my shoes, and... Oh, yes. Now I'm all set. You'll find Miss Brooks in the kitchen, Mr. Boynton. I'm going over to see my sister Angela.
Oh, say hello for me.
Hello.
I mean to your sister, Mrs. Davis.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Boynton. Goodbye.
Good morning, Miss Brooks.
Hello, Mr. Boynton. Would you like a cup of coffee?
Oh, yes, thanks. Will you join me?
I'd love to.
Here, I'll pour. I ran into Mr. Jensen down the block. Cream?
Yes, please.
He told me his wife was going to have a baby.
I think large families are wonderful. When I meet the right man, if I haven't already met him, I'll want to get married and have several children of my own.
Sugar?
Yes, Mr. Boynton. I mean, yes.
Say, look at the clock. We'd better hurry with this coffee.
Oh, you're so right, Mr. Boynton. And before we go, I'd better unlock the back door. Mrs. Davis invariably forgets her key.
Oh, she didn't forget it this time. When she was leaving, I noticed she took a little fat one off the hall table.
She took the little fat... Mr. Boynton, that was the key to the school. Mr. Jensen asked me to open up this morning.
Oh, no, Miss Brooks.
Oh, yes, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, gosh. Pretty soon, Mr. Conklin and all the students will be arriving at school, and nobody will be able to get in. Mr. Conklin will be furious at you.
Don't remind me. I can see the sparks flashing from his tongue already. Gee, I'm in quite a spot, aren't I? Aren't I? That shows how upset I am, Mr. Boynton. An English teacher should never be guilty of saying, aren't I?
But, Miss Brooks, what about school? Suppose we hurry over and explain.
Aren't is merely the contraction of are not. Therefore, one who says, aren't I, is guilty of saying, are not I.
Miss Brooks, what about...
The correct form is, am I not? Aren't I, being nothing more than an absurd and altogether ungrammatical affectation.
Miss Brooks, what about school?
I ain't going.
Starring Eve Arden will continue in just a moment, but first, here is Vern Smith. Here's wonderful news, ladies. Wonderful, wonderful news. Now there's something thrillingly new in Palmolive Soap's famous beauty lather. Yes, something thrillingly new. Palmolive's famous beauty lather now brings you new fragrance, new charm, new allure.
Millions of women will prefer beauty lather Palmolive over all other leading toilet soaps the minute they try it. For Palmolive Soap's famous beauty lather now has a new, clean, flower-fresh fragrance for new allure, new charm.
So ladies, forget all other beauty care and use Palmolive Soap the way doctors advise for a lovelier complexion. Just stop improper cleansing and instead wash your face with Palmolive Soap 3 times a day, massaging Palmolive's wonderful beauty lather onto your skin for 60 seconds each time to get its full beautifying effect. Then rinse. That's all. All types of skin, young, older, oily, respond to it quickly. Don't wait another day to try Palmolive's beauty lather. You'll be thrilled by its new fragrance, new charm, new allure. Thrilled again by the fresher, brighter complexion doctors prove may soon be yours.
For new loveliness all over, use big bath size Palmolive in tub or shower.
Well, I finally decided to face the music, even though I knew that the music would consist of some angry pear-shaped tones emanating from Mr. Conklin's pear-shaped head. By the time Mr. Boynton dropped me off, there were so many students milling around dear old Madison High that it looked like a training school for young pickets. I found Mr. Conklin pacing up and down outside his office windows.
Ah, there you are, Miss Brooks.
Good morning, Mr. Conklin.
It's about time. Now then, if you'll give me the key.
The key?
Yes, the key. Let me have it.
I'll let you have it as quickly as possible. There is no key.
No key? But Mr. Jensen was supposed to
be... He did. But then I put it on a table in the hall, and Mrs. Davis took it with her to her sister Angela's. It wasn't really my fault, Mr. Conklin.
I don't care whose fault it was. We've got to get into this school, and quickly. You see, Miss Brooks, the Board of Education is presenting Madison High with a plaque today.
A plaque? For what, Mr. Conklin?
It's an award for the best attendance record of any high school in the county.
Really? Why, that's wonderful. Congratulations, Mr. Conklin.
Thank you, Miss Brooks, but I'd rather receive your felicitations inside my office instead of out here.
That's your phone, isn't it, Mr. Conklin?
Yes, it is. But thanks to your far-sighted suggestion after those 2 boxes of chalk disappeared, ours is the only school with a double lock on the front door and bars on all the windows. I can't get in to answer it.
Well, maybe it isn't important, Mr. Conklin.
I think I know who's calling, Miss Brooks. It's the Board of Education. They want to know when I'm going to hold an assembly.
An assembly?
Yes, Miss Brooks. They want to give us a plaque for perfect attendance, and nobody's in school to answer the phone.
Oh, please, Mr. Conklin, try to be calm. We'll think of something. Maybe I could call Mrs. Davis when she gets to her sister's. No, Angela has no phone. I know. I'll go out to her house.
You'll do no such thing, Miss Brooks. You'll need every teacher we've got to set up classes on the athletic field.
Hello, Daddy. Miss Brooks. Don't you think it's time we were getting into school?
Now, that's an excellent suggestion, Harriet.
Miss Brooks hasn't got the key.
Wait a minute. You drive, don't you, Harriet?
Well, certainly, Miss Brooks. Can I go somewhere for you?
You'll stay right here, Harriet. There must be someone else you can send, Miss Brooks.
How about my dream boat, Walter Denton?
Dreamboat?
He's an idiot.
But, Daddy, Walter's a wonderful driver. He'll pick up the key wherever it is and have it back here in nothing flat.
Nothing but his head, that is.
Well, maybe that's a good idea. Miss Brooks, get Denton to drive out to wherever Mrs. Davis is. At least his brain is expendable.
All right, Mr. Conklin. I'll look for Walter and ask him to go after the key.
You won't have to look for him, Miss Brooks. Walter's coming over right now.
Well, if it isn't my light of love. Greetings, fair Harriet. Bonjour, Miss Brooks. And to you, esteemed principal, felicitations. Mr. Conklin, catch a rancid wheat cake at breakfast?
Mr. Conklin's not in a very good mood this morning, Walter. You see, today's the day the Board of Education is supposed to award Madison a plaque for its fine attendance record.
Well, what's bad about that? Let's get into the jolly institution and snag that little beauty.
I'd love to, Walter. Maybe we could melt you down and pour you through the bar.
Now, I'm going to inform the other teachers of our dilemma, Miss Brooks. Please get expendable here on his way. Come with me, Harriet.
Yes, Daddy.
Bye, Walter. Adieu, lovely one, and lovely one's father.
Dad!
You know, Miss Brooks, there are times when I sense an animosity in that man. Now, what do you suppose could cause such a reaction?
Hatred, for one thing. Now, please listen carefully, Walter. You know Mrs. Davis's sister, Angela, don't you?
Oh, sure, Miss Brooks. I gave Mrs. Davis a ride out there last week.
Good. Do you remember where she lives?
Well, it's way on the other side of town. I didn't notice the address, but I think I could find it. There was a mailbox on the corner.
A mailbox? Isn't there anything else that would help you identify it?
Well, nothing outstanding.
What color was the house?
I don't remember the background color, but the stripes were purple. I guess I could find it all right, Miss Brooks. But I wish you'd tell me what this is all about.
Well, it's about the key to the school, Walter. Mrs. Davis walked off with it this morning, and it's up to you to go and get it back. Now, just ask her for the little fat key on a blue ribbon.
Your wish is my command, Miss Brooks. My eager jalopy is champing at the curb.
What kind of a car is that anyway, Walter?
Oh, it has no name, Miss Brooks. Just a slogan.
A slogan?
Yeah. You know how they call the new Hudson the car you step down into?
Yes.
Well, this is the box you back away from.
Well, Miss Brooks, it's over an hour since Denton left, and he's still not back with that key.
I'm sure it won't be much longer, Mr. Conklin.
Here goes that phone again. I wish Mr. Stone would stop calling my office.
I know one way to stop him, Mr. Conklin. We can go to the malt shop next door and call him. That way you can stall him off till Walter gets back with the key.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. Better than standing around listening to that phone. Come on, Miss Brooks.
Well, here we are, Mr. Conklin. Martin's Malt Shop, Madison's unofficial annex.
After you, Miss Brooks.
Well, if it isn't Miss Brooks.
Hi, Marty.
Sneak away from the ogre for a little fizz water?
No, the ogre is along today.
Sorry, Mr. Conklin, just a little nickname I picked up from the kids.
Why, I'm surprised at you, Marty. Nobody at Madison calls Mr. Conklin by anything but his right name.
Well, I'm happy to know that, Miss Brooks.
Oh, here's the phone booth right over here, pear-shaped. Mr. Conklin. I'll dial the Board of Education for you. School day, dear old golden rule.
Board of Education, Mr. Stone speaking.
Mr. Conklin calling you, Mr. Stone. One moment, please. Here you are, Mr. Conklin.
Thank you. Hello, Mr. Stone.
Is that you, Conklin?
Yes, it is, Mr. Stone.
I might as well have a Coke while I'm waiting.
Well, it's about time. I was beginning to think that Madison High School had slid into the sea.
Well, I had to step out of my office for a minute, Mr. Stone, but I'm back in it now. Yes, sir.
What's that?
What's what?
Osgood, are you hissing me?
Oh, no, sir, no. We must have a bad connection.
It's a terrible connection. You say you're in your office?
Yes, sir.
I'll call you right back.
But, Mr. Stone...
And for heaven's sakes, don't disappear again. Goodbye.
Wait, Mr. Stone. Wait, Mr.
This is the last straw.
What did he say, Mr. Conklin?
He said he's going to call me right back. Now I'm in deeper than ever.
Oh, we'll figure some way out of this. After all, Mr. Stone is only a human being.
A human being who happens to be the head of our local board of education. Oh, this is awful.
Excuse me, Daddy, but the telephone in your office is ringing.
The telephone in your office is ringing.
What do you suggest, Harriet?
Well, I don't know, Daddy, but don't worry. I'm sure Walter won't fail us.
He'd better not. Now, Miss Brooks, I'm going over to inspect the classes that have been set up on the athletic field. I want you to call the board and talk to Mr. Stone.
Me? But what should I tell him?
Improvise.
Oh, but Mr. Conklin...
Call him off, Miss Brooks. I'm counting on you.
Oh, great. Well, I might as well get it over with.
What are you going to tell Mr. Stone, Miss Brooks?
I don't know yet, Harriet. I'll wait till he answers.
Hello, Mr. Stone speaking.
Hello, Mr. Stone. This is Miss Brooks at Madison High.
Yes?
I'm calling from Mr. Conklin's office, Mr. Stone. He asked me to call you.
Give me a double strawberry temptation, Mark.
Oh, he did. What about Miss Brooks?
About his not being able to talk to you for a while.
What in the world is that sound?
That? Oh, that's the radiator, Mr. Stone. It's defective.
Radiator? In June?
Well, they're just testing it. As a matter of fact, that's why Mr. Conklin can't talk to you. One of our students was just in his office, and this jet of hot water started out of the radiator, and Mr. Conklin jumped in front of the boy to save him and accidentally knocked out 6 of the boy's teeth.
That radiator should be fixed immediately.
Oh, it was, Mr. Stone. But Mr. Conklin doesn't want to leave the boy's side. He's on the couch across the room. He's giving him a transfusion.
A transfusion? Of teeth?
Oh, didn't I tell you? He also cut his foot. He's in a bad way, Mr. Stone. We're hoping for the best.
Where is the boy now? In a malted milk machine?
Thing off.
There must be somebody else on this line, Mr. Stone. I'd better call you back.
No, Miss Brooks, don't bother. I don't quite know what's going on at Madison today, but I'm going to find out. You tell Mr. Conklin that I'll call him in exactly 10 minutes. If he isn't at the phone, prepared to carry on a rational conversation at that time, well, he'd better be.
But Mr. Stone...
Goodbye, Miss Brooks.
Goodbye. And goodbye, Mr. Conklin.
Well?
Well, nothing. It's worse than ever. Mr. Stone's going to call again in 10 minutes. Wait a minute, Harriet. I think I've got an idea.
What is it, Miss Brooks?
First, I'll get Marty to hang an out-of-order sign on this phone booth, and then I'll call Mr. Conklin's office in 5 minutes and leave the receiver off the hook on this end.
Well, what'll that do?
Well, that will ensure Mr. Stone's receiving a busy signal when he calls in 10 minutes. And that's what he'll continue to receive until Walter returns with the key.
Miss Brooks, you're a positive genius.
Please, Harriet, don't exaggerate. I'm not a bit positive.
Please calm down, Daddy. I'm sure Walter will be back any minute.
Oh, that Denton. Instead of sending him for the key, I should have sent some other idiot. I should have gone myself. He's nothing but an unreliable laggard, a detestable, nauseating, blundering knucklehead.
Excuse me, Mr. Conklin. Here's the key.
Bless you, boy.
Well, don't stand there, Denton. Open the door.
Yes, sir. There you are, sir.
Out of the way, out of the way. Now to get that phone. It must be Mr. Stone. Well, I'll just give him a piece of my mind. If he thinks he can hound me all day.
Hello? Osgood Conklin speaking. Hello? Hello?
There's no dial tone. Some lame brain must have called this number and left the receiver off the hook. Hello? 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 Hello?
Mr. Conklin, sir, I found this telegram under your door.
Telegram? Let me see that. Let's see. Well, it's from Mr. Stone. It says, "Dear Osgood, realizing the futility of trying to reach you by telephone, I hereby inform you that the Board of Education has authorized you to suspend classes for the remainder of the school day in recognition of Madison's splendid attendance record."
Gosh, Mr. Conklin, does that mean there's no more school today?
Evidently, Walter. Now, please go out to the athletic field and inform the teachers and students of my decision to give them the rest of the day off.
Yes, sir. Oh, before I go, I better bring you back the key. I left it in the door.
Well, just leave it there. I've got a little work to clean up. I can get it on my way home.
Let's make the most of our afternoon off, Miss Brooks. I'd like to do something really exciting today, if you're game.
Game?
Miss Brooks, I'd like to take you to the zoo.
I'm afraid that's a little too gamey for me, Mr. Boynton. I'd much rather go to a movie. Say, we must be the last two people on the grounds. I feel like... Oh, excuse me a minute.
What's wrong, Miss Brooks?
I just noticed the front door. Walter left the key in it. You know, the extra lock was my idea.
Yes, I know.
Mr. Conklin's been so worried about this key all day, I'm not going to take any chances.
Well, what are you going to do, Miss Brooks?
I'm going to lock up the school and mail this key to Mr. Conklin.
Eve Arden, as our Miss Brooks, returns in just a moment, but first...
Dream girl, beautiful luster cream girl.
Tonight, show him how much lovelier your hair can look after a luster cream shampoo. Only luster cream brings you Kay Dumas' magic formula blend of secret ingredients plus gentle lanolin. Gives loveliness lather even in hardest water. Glamorizes your hair as you wash it. Luster cream. Not a soap, not a liquid, but a dainty cream shampoo. Leaves hair fragrantly clean, free of loose dandruff, glistening with sheen. Soft, manageable, gives new beauty to all hairdos or permanents. 4-ounce jar, $1. Smaller sizes, either tubes or jars. Tonight, try Luster Cream Shampoo. And be a
dream girl, beautiful luster cream girl. You owe your crowning glory to a luster cream shampoo.
And now, once again, here is our Miss Brooks.
Well, after I mailed the key, Mr. Boynton took me to the zoo. Then we had a nice Dutch dinner. Saw a very exciting movie and wound up at Marty's malt shop.
Well, give us a couple of malters, Marty.
Coming right up, folks.
That certainly was a terrifying picture, especially when Lucy starts to hear the voices.
Oh, I don't know. Lots of manic depressives wind up like that.
Hello. Beg pardon, Mr. Boynton?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, I guess it's the effect of that movie.
Hello. Can you hear me? Won't somebody answer me?
Now, wait a minute. I'm not that far gone. It's coming from the phone booth. I better see what that is. Well, that's funny. The receiver's still off the hook. Hello?
Hello? Is that you, Miss Brooks?
Yes. Mr. Conklin?
It is indeed.
Have you been trying to reach me, Mr. Conklin?
I have indeed.
Oh, if it's about the school, Mr. Conklin, you don't have a thing to worry about. I locked it securely before I left the campus. Nobody can possibly get in.
That's not what I'm worried about, Miss Brooks. I'm worried about getting out.
You mean? Oh, no, you're not still.
Yes, I'm still. Now get over here with that key!
Yes, sir. Right away, sir.
The key?
Oh, Mr. Boynton... Do you think you could lift me up?
Why, of course, Miss Brooks.
Good. Let's get down to the corner. I want you to slip me into the mailbox.
Next week, tune into another Our Miss Brooks show brought to you by Palmolive Soap, your beauty hope, and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair. Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, is produced by Larry Burns, written and directed by Al Lewis, with music by Wilbur Hatch.
Men, do you shave with a lather or brushless shave cream? Palmolive shaving cream comes both ways. And whichever way you prefer to shave, you'll find that using either Palmolive brushless or Palmolive lather shaving cream can bring you more comfortable, actually smoother shaves. Here's the proof. 2,548 men tried the new Palmolive way to shave described on the tube. And no matter how they had shaved before, 3 out of every 4 got more comfortable, actually smoother shaves. Get Palmolive brushless or Palmolive lather shaving cream today.
For mystery liberally sprinkled with laughs, listen to Mr. and Mrs. North, the exciting, fun-packed adventures of an amateur detective and his beautiful wife. Tune in Tuesday evening over most of these same stations. And be with us again next week at this same time for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks. Bob Lamond speaking. Stay tuned now for Life with Luigi, which follows over most of these stations. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Eve Arden starring as R. Miss Brooks in Keys to the School from 1949. Now a word from one of our favorite channels, the Radio Book Channel.
The Radio Book Channel features the stories of today with the classics of literature, great science fiction, romance, histories, podcasts from Icebox Radio, the American Radio Theater, and 19 Nocturne Boulevard. Throw in some classic radio from NBC University Theater, Lux Radio Theater, Sherlock Holmes, Gunsmoke, and Information Please. And you get the idea. It's the best of today and yesterday on the Radio Book Channel. Go to theradiobookchannel.com. There's a world of ideas in books. Books are on the Radio Book Channel.
Lots of great listening there at the Radio Book Channel, www.radiobookchannel.com. Next up on our roster for this week is Ozzie and Harriet. The episode is entitled The Knitting Contest, and it's from January of 1949.
Well, you didn't tell me. Did you make any New Year's resolutions?
Oh, sure.
What are they?
You're not supposed to tell, are you?
Oh, sure.
I know when I can tell. In fact, that's part of the resolution. To tell millions and millions more people that the solid silver with beauty that lives forever is international sterling.
The solid silver with beauty that lives forever is International Sterling. From Hollywood, International Silver Company, creators of International Sterling, presents The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, starring America's favorite young couple, Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard. Since the dawn of recorded history, mankind has greeted the arrival of the new year with celebrations and rejoicing. 5,000 years ago, on New Year's Eve, a famous Egyptian said... And so it goes. A new year is born, and the old year takes its place on the pages of history. And in everybody's mind is an acute awareness of the passage of time.
Did we get any 1949 calendars yet, Harriet?
Oh, if you mean the ones in the garage, it's over there on the table.
Oh, yeah. Hey, look, they're using a different girl this year. She isn't wearing much for January, is she? Wonder how she keeps warm.
Well, those looks you're giving her must help a little.
Hey, look here, take a look at February. See, things start to get interesting. She's taken off her gloves.
When you get to June, don't expect anything. I tore that one out. You want more coffee?
Yeah, thanks. You know, I have a feeling 1949 is going to be a very nice year.
Started off very well.
Yeah, I thought so. In fact, that was one of the best New Year's Eve parties I've ever been to.
Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun. There's only one thing I didn't like about it. I don't like the idea of teaming the men against the women.
Oh, you mean in the word game?
Mm-hmm.
Well, naturally, you didn't like it because the wives lost.
Well, no, not that. I just don't think it's fair to make the wives compete against their husbands.
Oh, I understand how you feel. We really trounced you, didn't we?
Well, if you put it that way, maybe we just didn't try as hard as the men.
Oh, sure, that's the answer. You let us win. The wives were so much in love with their husbands that you let us win.
I didn't say that. I simply said that maybe we didn't try as hard as you men.
Oh, I don't think we tried especially hard. In fact, it seemed to me we won pretty easily. You tried hard, but we were a little smarter.
I'm so glad to hear you say that, dear. Some of the girls thought we made it too obvious.
Oh, no. You fooled me completely.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Pop.
Hi.
Hello, boys. Boys, let me give you a word of fatherly advice. Never let yourselves get drawn into competition with girls.
Guy, Pop, you don't think we play with girls, do you?
Oh, no? What about the spelling match?
When was that?
Oh, he means at the school Christmas party. We stood the girls in a spelling match.
Oh, and naturally the girls didn't try very hard, so the boys won hands down.
Oh, no, they beat the pants off us.
Gee, I don't remember that part.
The girls actually won fair and square?
Yeah, they were just too much for us. We didn't stand a chance.
Oh, I'm surprised, David. That's no attitude to take. Let's examine just why the girls won. Is it because they're brighter than you? No. More alert? No. Have more knowledge? No.
Isn't that funny? I would have said yes to all those things.
Well, let's get to the real reason the girls won.
I know. Girls don't have as much to worry about as we do.
Well, not only that, maybe you were just being nice to the girls and tried to lose the spelling match.
We didn't have to try to lose. It was the easiest thing I've ever done.
I don't like girls anyway.
Ricky's a little sore on account of what happened at Susie Dunkel's party. The girls insisted on playing post office.
Fully.
Sounds like you boys had quite a party.
Julie Thornberry said she had a letter for Ricky. She sure canceled his stamp.
Yeah. Why does she want to kiss me? She's got a cat. Let her kiss that.
Come to think of it, the girls won all the prizes at that party, too.
Of all the dopey games, pin the tail on the donkey. Fooey.
It's no wonder you didn't like it. Next time, don't insist on being the donkey.
Well, don't worry about it, boys. As soon as the girls get a little older, they'll let you boys win all the prizes. See, that's a little trick that the women use to make the men think they're smarter. At least that's what your mother says.
Not much sense in being a boy these days, is there? Come on, Rick. Let's throw the ball around.
You know, it might be fun to have a spelling match at our next party.
Oh, sure. And I suppose the wives would just murder the poor husbands. I tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a word right now you can't spell. An easy one, too. Spell Glockenspiel.
Glockenspiel? Glockenspiel? Was I wrong? Huh? Was I right? Well, all right, how do you spell Glockenspiel?
Well, let's be fair, don't give me the same word.
Hi, Oz.
Oh, hello, Thorny.
Care to join me in carrying out this barrel of ashes?
No, thanks. You sure keeping the basement cleaned up? The New Year's resolution?
In a way. Catherine made it for me.
Women are sure hard to understand.
Ah, it's impossible.
Harriet and I were talking about the New Year's Eve party, you know, over at the Randolphs.
Oh, did you get a little lecture, too?
No. Harriet and I were just talking about the games we played.
I should think she'd want to keep that quiet. Women didn't win a darn thing. Pretty solid proof of male superiority, I'd say.
I know this is perfectly silly, Thorny, but has it ever occurred to you that women might lose to men on purpose?
Do you have a fever, Oz?
No, I'm serious. Women are pretty strange. They might just do a thing like that, you know, just to make the husbands feel superior. Sort of butter us up.
Well, that doesn't make sense, Oz. At least not right after Christmas.
Well, and how do you explain the fact that women are such good losers? They lose all the time, and they still smile.
Oh, look, Oz, women lose, they smile. But they have their own little ways of getting even with us for beating them. They're clever, Oz, devilishly clever. I beat Catherine a little game of gin rummy the other night, and what did she do? Turned off my side of the electric blanket, and I nearly froze to death.
Maybe you're right. I wonder if that was just Harriet's way of getting even with me, you know, trying to make me think the girl's lost on purpose.
Well, there's no doubt about it, Oz. And the dangerous part of it is that it's little things like that that cause a man to lose control of the reins in his own home.
Oh, Thorny, I don't think it's that important.
Okay, Oz. But if I were you, I'd get the upper hand again before it's too late. The husband has got to keep control of the household. Why don't you go in there and involve Harriet in some sort of competition and beat her fair and square?
Say, maybe you're right. Certainly can't do any harm. No, I'll just challenge her to some sort of a contest and beat her.
Right.
Now, what's something I'm sure to win at?
Yeah. How about growing a mustache faster than she can?
Tony, it's got to be something she has a chance at. See, I know checkers. It's a good game, and I don't think she's ever played it. By golly, Thorny, I'll prove to her I'm a better man than she is. Harriet.
Yes, dear?
How about a little game of checkers?
Oh, I have to do the dishes, dear.
Oh, come on. Just one game of checkers.
All right, we'll play kitchen checkers. You take the dirty saucers, and I'll take the dirty cups, and we'll move them around the dishpan.
I don't understand, Harriet. I happen to feel like a little competition. I'll bet I can toss a penny closer to the edge of the linoleum than you can.
I don't want to play games, dear.
You mean you don't want to be beaten? You must have seen my high school yearbook. You probably read how good I was at pitching pennies.
Here, why don't you have a cookie? That'll keep you quiet.
Oh, boy, chocolate. Why don't you have one, too?
They do look good.
I could eat a dozen of them.
So could I.
I'll bet I can eat more cookies than you can.
I'll bet you can, too. Are you trying to draw me into some sort of competition?
Not necessarily. How about some ping pong?
No thanks, dear.
I'll give you an advantage. I'll play left-handed.
No thanks.
I'll play blindfolded.
No thanks.
Without a paddle.
No.
Doubled up with my head between my legs. I'll be the ball.
No, dear.
Well, I don't blame you. It is sort of useless for a woman to compete with a man.
Yes, it is, dear.
You mean you don't disagree with that statement I just made?
No, I think you're right.
Well, let's shake hands. That's it. Now put your foot against my foot, like this. Now, this is what's known as Indian hand wrestle.
You want another pillow under your head?
No, thanks.
You want to sit over here in your easy chair?
No, thank you, dear. I'm very comfortable lying here on the couch.
You aren't angry with me, are you?
Why should I be? You didn't throw me. I slipped.
I'm sorry. That soap just squished out of my hand when you grabbed me. I hope you didn't loosen a vertebrae.
I landed right on the base of my spine, the lower part. It could have pushed my spinal column right straight up. I'd have one horn on my head.
Would you like me to fill up your hot water bottle again?
No, thanks. I haven't finished drinking this yet. What are you knitting?
A pair of socks.
Is it difficult to knit a pair of socks?
Not once you've learned. You aren't thinking of taking it up, are you?
Just making conversation. Just for the fun of it, show me how you do it. Just give me an idea.
Well, roughly, it's like this. You take one needle and loop the yarn over like this. Then you slide it off. That's knit. And then you reverse the process like this. And then slide these loops off. That's purl.
Hand it to me. I'll show you how fast I pick up stuff.
Oh, careful.
Just loop it over like this. Then you slide these off. Where did everything go?
Yeah, that was fast, dear. It took me an hour to do what you undoed in 2 seconds.
What did I do?
You unraveled it.
It certainly is delicate. How does it stay together in a sweater? You know, I never realized what nerve it takes for a woman to wear a sweater. I wonder how long it'd take me to knit a pair of socks.
Too long. Give the needles back, dear.
Oh, sure, I couldn't possibly knit a pair of socks as fast as you could.
Of course you couldn't.
I was hoping you'd say that.
What do you mean?
I think we've got ourselves a little contest.
Oh, Ozzy, you couldn't...
Shall we begin? Just get me some needles. All I want you to do is show me how it's done, and I may as well warn you, be prepared for a fight. When I was at Boy Scout camp, I learned to make a straw hat in 1 hour.
But, Ozzy, that isn't like making a sock.
It looked like one.
Well, I'll show you how, dear, but let's not make it a contest.
I'm afraid I might finish my socks sooner than you'll finish yours.
No, I'm afraid you might knit yourself into a bag and suffocate.
What irony. Beating Harriet at her own game. This will prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that men are superior to women.
superior, men or women? Now, there's an argument I don't want any part of. No, sir. Instead, let you and I have a little discussion about prices. Don't mention that word out loud, did you say? Well, just wait till you hear the happy news about international sterling prices. They haven't gone up a bit. That's right. International sterling prices have not gone up in 4 years. Other leading silver people have raised their prices, but your favorite international sterling pattern costs the same as it did in 1944. And you get more for your money when you buy famous international sterling, too. For instance, by getting 8 place settings in International Sterling's lovely Prelude pattern, rather than some other sterling, you save about $20. And that $20 will buy you those 8 additional teaspoons to complete your service. What's more, you know, when you own International Sterling, you own it for life. Its beauty and richness grow warmer and lovelier all through your lifetime. So, visit your International Sterling dealer tomorrow. See and plan to own the solid silver with beauty that lives forever. International Sterling. See that man? The one so seriously engrossed in the work before him? That's Ozzie Nelson, one-time holder of the title Man. You know what's running through his mind? He's wondering which is the superior towel in the bathroom, his or hers. At present, he's engaged in a bitter struggle, the struggle of a man determined to maintain his dignity and to preserve his rightful place as head of the household. Note the square jaw, the steely blue eyes, the look of determination, the look of a man ready to fight. A fair fight, yes, but a tough one.
Knit one, purl one. Knit one, purl one. Knit one, purl... Come on in, Barney.
I just came over... Well, Mother McCree.
I'm knitting.
Oh. Are you expecting a cuddly little visitor?
No, I wasn't, but as long as you're here, sit down.
I know it's January, but if you want some strawberries, I'll go get them for you.
Don't make fun of me, Barney. You suggested I get into a contest with Harriet, and this is it. A sock knitting contest. Push the book over closer, will you, Thorny?
Oh, knitting instructions. Item one, knit. Item two, purl. What are you doing, Oz? Item one or item two?
Item three, untangling the mess. Move hands together, keeping needles and fingers in motion. That's it. Knit one, purl one. Knit one, purl one. Needles working harmoniously, action of the fingers nicely synchronized. Knit one, purl one. Knit one, purl one. How do you like that, Thorny?
Oh, that's very good, Oz. Now let's see you try it with the yarn.
See, that's the trouble. It works perfectly till I try it with the yarn.
Yeah. Well, try it again. Maybe I can find out what's wrong.
Well, just follow me along in the book there. Now I grasp the yarn with my left hand. I slip the needle through the loop. Now with the right hand, I pull the yarn over the left and slip the needle through. Now I cross the yarn over the right hand and slip the needle through.
Now what?
Now, if you'll untie my hands, I'll continue. It happens every time.
Yeah, let me see what it says here.
It says, hey, wait a minute. Hey, I think I see what I'm doing wrong. Through, over, slide. Under, through, slide. Say, I've got it. Knit one. Purl one.
That's the old fight.
Knit one,
purl one. Knit one, purl one.
It's just sort of a knack.
Knit one, purl one. Knit one, purl. Oz, I knew you could do it. Atta girl, Oz.
Look at me, Jordy.
Come on, Oz, keep going. Knit one.
Knit one.
Purl one.
Purl one.
Knit one. Purl one.
Knit one. Purl one. Knit. Item three again.
It's
no use, Thorny. Just look at this mess.
Oh, don't give up now, Oz. You were doing great.
Well, I'll give it one more try. Put it through here. Loop over the yarn. Slide the needle down. Under here. Over there. Easy does it. Knit one. Purl one. Knit one. Purl one. Yeah. Knit one. Purl one.
Oz, you're a devil with those needles.
Purl. Say, you're sitting on my ball of yarn.
Oh, sorry. I wondered what that was moving around.
Knit one, purl one.
Knit one, purl one.
Knit one, purl one.
That's it. Good boy.
Knit one, purl one.
Keep it up, Oz.
Knit one, purl one.
I have to go.
See you later.
Do not give up.
I won't purl one.
So long, Ozzy.
Goodbye. Thorny, knit one, purl. Knit two, purl two.
Hi, Pop.
Knit. Oh, hi, fellas. I didn't hear you come in.
What are you doing, knit. Pop?
Now, that's a silly question. See these needles flying? What does it look like I'm doing?
Bleeding to death.
hand me one of those Band-Aids. I happen to be knitting a pair of socks.
What part of the sock is that you're working on?
Gee, it isn't the toe, and it doesn't look like the heel.
Well, it started out to be the heel, but it was a little too small, so I decided to make it the toe, but it was a little too big, so it's going to be the coin pocket.
The coin pocket? I never heard of socks with coin pockets.
Well, I think these will have them. Anyway, neatness doesn't count in the contest.
What contest, Pop?
Oh, it's just a little contest your mother and I are having to see who can knit a pair of socks faster.
See, David? Pop's just like me.
What do you mean, Ricky?
Oh, he's been challenging all the girls to games ever since they beat us in the spelling match.
Oh?
He even challenged Mary Benson to Indian hand wrestling.
Oh, really? What happened?
I slipped.
I bet Mom will be awful embarrassed if you beat her, huh, Pop?
Oh, I don't think so, David.
You think she'll cry?
Don't be silly. Your mother doesn't cry.
Oh, yes, she does, Pop. She cries sometimes, but she never lets you see her. Is that because she loves you so much, Pop?
Well, I suppose so.
I don't think she'll cry this time. She'll feel awful bad, but she's brave, boy. I wish I was as brave as Mom.
Ricky was even crying in the movies the other day.
Oh, yeah, wise guy?
No, look, boys, you don't understand this. You see, I'm not trying to make your mother cry. This is just a little friend... Oh, darn these needles. Hand me another one of those Band-Aids, will you? Two of them. I think it went clear through. Downstairs.
Did you hear a burglar?
If I had, I wouldn't be going downstairs. I'll tell you a little secret. I've been thinking things over, and I'm going down to do a little work on your mother's knitting. See, I want to make sure she wins. After all, I don't want to make her cry.
You're going to knit on her socks to help her?
Well, yes. Something wrong?
No, I guess not. You sure do get yourself in some tough spots, don't you, Pop?
That's the third time you've yawned this morning, dear. Didn't you sleep well last night?
Not too well. I dreamt I was knitting. I'm awful tired of knitting, Harriet. I'm willing to admit defeat.
Oh, no, dear. The way you catch on to things, I'll bet you're way ahead of me.
No, not a chance. In fact, I'll bet if we take a look at what you've knitted so far and what I've knitted so far, we'll find you're way, way ahead.
Okay, let's take a look. Let's see, where did I leave my knitting when I went to bed last night?
Right there on the windowsill.
I wonder where I left mine.
In the piano bench.
Oh, yeah, that's right. See, here we are. See, take a look at mine. It's all done.
Well, it's wonderful, dear. And look at mine. It's only half... all done.
Well, I knew. That is, I thought you...
Well,
I mean...
This is very strange. My sock looks terrible. I don't knit like this.
Oh, I don't think it looks so bad.
Looks like a wool funnel.
What do you expect? I couldn't turn on any lights. I had to knit in the kitchen with the refrigerator door open.
Well, what are you trying to say?
Well, I just came downstairs for a little bite to eat, and I happened to have my knitting needles with me, and... what about my sock? It looks pretty darn good.
Good? It looks excellent.
You didn't by any chance come down last night for a little snack, did you?
No, I didn't, dear. I came down to finish your socks.
But why did you want to finish my socks?
Because I wanted you to win. Why did you finish my sock?
Because I wanted you to win. Isn't this silly? Oh,
darling, what a beautiful thought. You wanted me to win.
No, I'm just a softy, I guess. But don't give me credit. It was really the boys. They sort of shamed me into it. In fact, they even suggested that if I won, you might start... What's the matter?
Well, it was so thoughtful of you, dear. I'm sorry. I think I'm going to cry.
No.
Mom, what's the matter?
Nothing, boys.
How come you're crying?
Oh, I see. You won after all, huh, Pop?
No, I didn't. Your mother's laughing. No, she's crying because she's happy. Boys. No, boys.
Ozzie and Harriet will be back in just a moment. You know, I think Ozzie should have stuck to the strictly masculine pursuits and let Harriet handle the feminine. There's no doubt about it. Things work out better that way.
Well, maybe, Mr. Smith. But what would you say if I told you that my husband was the one who chose the silver for our home? It was international sterling silver, too. And what I think is the most beautiful sterling pattern of all. Prelude.
Well, I'd say that your husband is a man who has a fine appreciation for beautiful things. There's no lovelier solid silver in the world than that created by International Sterling, you know. Every piece is artist-designed, as carefully finished as a rare jewel. And that Prelude pattern certainly is one of International's loveliest designs.
Not too plain, not too fancy. It's just right for that delicate flower ornament. And we were pretty happy about the price of Prelude, too, Mr. Smith. Imagine buying anything these days that hasn't gone sky high.
International Sterling is a wonderful value, all right. Its prices haven't gone up in 4 years.
Why, we figured we saved about $20 by getting 8-piece settings in International Sterling's Prelude pattern rather than some other sterling. Honestly, I think every woman ought to take a look at International Sterling patterns right away.
Ah, words of wisdom from one who knows. See your International Sterling dealer tomorrow, folks. See the solid silver with beauty that lives forever. Famous International Sterling.
I think it was a wonderful idea for us to call the contest off, don't you?
Oh, sure. By calling it off, it makes it a draw.
That's right. And definitely proves once and for all that men are superior to women.
Now, just a minute. You didn't win.
Oh, yes, I did. For 13 years, I've been trying to get you to knit me a pair of wool socks. And now, by tricking you into this contest, I'm finally going to get a pair.
Oh, dear, I didn't tell you, did I?
Tell me what?
I promised this pair of socks to Thorny.
You mean after I slaved over that pair of socks and worked my poor fingers to the bone, he gets them?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, when he came over yesterday morning, he said he wished he could think of some way to get them knitted faster.
So that's why he gave me all that encouragement. Where are my knitting needles?
What are you going to do, dear?
You see this ugly, contorted mass of sock I've knitted?
Oh, I don't know, dear. It might fit somebody.
Oh, yes. It'll fit anybody who happens to wear a size 23 shoe and has a quarter-inch ankle. I'm going to knit a mate, and I'll give them to Thorny. He'll wear them. They'll cut off his blood supply at the ankles. His feet will be like icebergs. His wife will divorce him. He'll be a ruined man. What revenge? Knit one.
Pearl Woman.
Tune in again next week to another adventure of Ozzie and Harriet, starring Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard.
And remember, the solid silver with beauty that lives forever is International Sterling.
Yes, Harriet, the solid silver with beauty that lives forever is International Sterling. Appearing in support of Ozzie and Harriet were John Brown, Tommy Bernard, and Henry Blair. Original music was composed and conducted by Billy May. This program originates in the Hollywood studios of the National Broadcasting Company and is also broadcast over the Trans-Canada Network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. This is Vern Smith speaking.
This is NBC.
Excuse me. This is Buddy Cisco, Horace Heights present champion, hoping you'll hear me putting up the fight of my life the next half hour over NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Certainly one of the more popular and memorable early television shows, Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard in Ozzie and Harriet. Well, we come to our final 30 minutes for this week's podcast and another comedy. This time, it's the irrepressible Red Skelton. And the Red Skelton show, the show's about insurance policies. It dates from February of 1942.
From Hollywood, the Raleigh Cigarette Program, starring Red Skelton, with Ozzie Nelson and his orchestra, Harriet Hilliard, and Wonderful Smith. Ladies and gentlemen, when we stress the superiority of Raleigh cigarettes, we don't resort to flowery phrases or extravagant claims. We don't have to. The proof of Raleigh's excellence is something you can see for yourself. Compare the open ends of a pack of Raleighs with any other brand. Any other. You'll see at a glance that the tobacco in Raleigh cigarettes is unmistakably more golden in color. Now, it's an indisputable trade fact among experts that the golden tobaccos are choicer, more expensive, more sought after by professional tobacco buyers. And no less than 31 of these superb tobaccos, each contributing its own distinctive touch of seasoning, go into the exclusive Raleigh blend. That accounts for Raleigh's unrivaled richness, matchless taste and flavor. Raleigh cigarettes give you valuable coupons too, redeemable for over 70 luxury premiums, including United States defense stamps. Your own eyes and good taste will prove to you that it pays in many ways to get the pack with a coupon on the back. Raleigh Cigarettes. Orchestra playing Anything Goes. And now we bring you Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's newest young comedian, the star of our show, who in the New York World Telegram poll has been selected as the outstanding new star of 1941, Red Skelton.
Thank you very much and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hiya, Truman.
Hello, Red. Say, Red, I heard that you had a date with a girl last night.
Yeah, huh? That's right.
What'd you do?
Nothing. We didn't have any money, so we just sat around and watched her nose twitch.
Red, I'll bet you were too tired to go anywhere.
That's right, Brad. You know, I've been too tired to do anything lately.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. I think I'll run out about the same time as my insurance policy.
Say, have you tried to get a life insurance policy lately?
Yeah.
What happened? No soap?
No life.
Red, did you have the insurance doctor examine you?
Yeah, and boy, he really examined me, too. He tapped me all over with a little hammer.
Oh, that bother you?
No, little men with hammers have been tapping me ever since New Year's Eve. Then the doctor made me take off my shirt, and I showed him my ribs.
Oh, did you show him your ribs?
Not only did I show him, but I played a tune for him.
Well, Red, what kind of insurance did you get?
Well, I got an annuity. I get $50 a month as long as I'm alive.
I was alive once.
Are you sure, Ozzy? Say, by the way, are you with a good insurance company?
No, my insurance company's terrible.
Terrible? Why?
Every time they see me, they try to pay off.
Hiya, Red.
Hello, Harriet. I was just telling everybody that I've been trying to get an insurance policy.
Well, insurance is a very good idea.
Yeah?
Do you know how many people were killed last year in bathtubs alone?
Well, how else are you going to take a bath?
I stepped on a piece of soap once.
A windy old bird, ain't he? You did, Ozzy? What happened?
You see my forehead?
No.
Well, once you could.
Say, tell me something, Red. What does this doctor look like?
Did you ever see a totem pole?
Yes.
He's the third head down.
What else did the doctor say?
Well, he said I had a fallen stomach, but I didn't believe him until I tripped over it going out the door. Then he got sore because I wouldn't pay his fee.
How much does he charge?
$1 million.
$1 million?
Yeah.
Well, does anyone ever pay that?
No, he just likes to see their hats fall off when he tells them.
Well, listen, Red. Why all this sudden interest in life insurance? You're young and healthy. You got a girl or something?
Yeah, I got a girl. She's beautiful, too, boy. She's covered with tattooings.
She is?
Well, yeah, that is, we like to think it's tattooing.
I suppose you kiss your girl goodnight every night.
This is the take it or leave it lay program.
What did you say, Harriet?
I said, I suppose you kiss your girl goodnight every night.
No, I never kiss her.
Why not?
Well, she's got rubber lips and I don't want to wear them out.
Poor girl, she had everything to live for in this world. But she fell one night in summer for a checkered vested drummer. Such is life, poor girl. Poor girl, poor girl, dreamed of diamonds and a bracelet set in pearls. But the solitaire he bought her sells at Macy's for a quarter. Such is life, poor girl. Petals fall and roses die and dreams must say goodbye. Poor girl, poor girl, she was dreaming of a prince or duke or earl. Instead of gowns with fancy stitching, she wears aprons in the kitchen. Oh, the poor, poor girl. And here's Harriet with the same story, but a different twist.
Poor girl, poor girl, she had everything to live for in this world. Though her suitor was a broker, she preferred a suit and cloak. Oh, the poor, poor girl. Poor girl, poor girl, had the diamonds and the coats of mink and squirrel. But a ring that cost a quarter meant more than the gems he bought her. Oh, the poor, poor girl. Petals fade and roses die and dreams must say goodbye. Poor girl, poor girl, learn the meaning of the real things in this world. Instead of Paris gown, she's itching for an apron in the kitchen. Oh, the poor, poor girl.
That was Harriet Hilliard and the Florentine Kid, Ozzie Nelson, singing Poor Girl, and very lovely, too. Say, Harriet, do you love animals? I said, do you love animals?
What do you want me to do, kiss you?
No, I just have a little puppy dog, and I thought maybe you'd like him.
Oh, well, I've got three now. What would I do with him?
I guess there would be a lot of trouble. Say, what do you say, though? Tonight, let's show the things that people go through for their pets. First, we have Clem, the fellow from the country.
Clem. Here I am on my way to milk my pet cow. Rosalie, Rosalie. She's my filamarusis, filamarusis, bellarola, boom, W.E. Whatever that means. And if it's what I think it means, hot diggity. Well, here's the barn. I'll just open the door and go in. Oh, darn that door. I'm going to put it on hinges someday. Well, hello, cow. It's time to milk, and I'm just the jerk that can do it, too. Get ready, old cow. Hey, careful there with that tail flapping me in the face. Suppose I did that to you, would you be surprised? Come to think of it, so would I.
Hello, Clem.
Well, Daisy.
What you doing, Clem?
Oh, wouldn't you like to know?
Ah, you're milking your cow, ain't you?
Well, I ain't giving her a Simonized job. Say, Daisy, you and I got a surprise for you. Look, I got a haircut.
Well, looky there. Your head don't come to no point after all. Say, Clem, what y'all fixed up for?
Well, I got my cow entered in the competition at the county fair today. And I bet she wins a blue ribbon, too.
Oh, I almost forgot. Here, Clem, I thought you might be hungry, so I brung you some rock candy.
Oh, rock candy, thanks. Oh, well, that tooth didn't match the others anyway. Next time, put a little more candy in and less rock, will you?
Come on, Clem, we gotta get this cow to the fair.
Okay.
Listen, and I want you to promise that you won't flirt with no girls.
Oh, I ain't gonna look at no more girls, cause every time I do, smoke comes out of my ears. Don't worry, you're my Valentine. I won't flirt. I'd face death for you.
You'd face death for me?
Yeah.
Well, then why did you run away from that rattlesnake yesterday?
He wasn't dead, was he?
Well, if we're going to the fair, we better get your cow into the truck.
Yeah, we better. You need any help, Daisy June?
Yeah, I must be getting old. I can't lift her no more. In the truck. Nice cow. Jump into the truck. No, no, not you, Clem.
Well, that's the cow. We just look alike, so. Come on, I'll get the motor started.
Well, the motor started, Clem.
Okay, now I'll run out and put it under the hood. Well, we're off. Gee, ain't it a nice day for truck driving? Lots of people we can crowd off of the road.
Clem,
yes?
There's a train.
How about that? Well, don't worry about it now. Wait till we get to the crossing. Why, you don't think I'd drive reckless with this valuable cow in my truck, do you?
Valuable cow. That cow's so old, she wouldn't make a good hamburger.
Oh, don't you say that.
Clem, there's a train, I tell you. Now watch out.
Well, why, we got as much right to drive on these tracks as they have.
Watch out, Clem, we're gonna hit that train!
Blue ribbon hamburgers, 5 cents.
Then we have a lady and her little boy. Like all kids, he's an animal lover, and as the scene opens, we find Him and his mother riding in a taxi cab on their way to the bus station. So, Harriet, you be my mother, and I'll be the mean old kid. Gee, Mommy, I like riding in a taxi cab.
That's good, Junior.
Dee Dee teaches night and go up and swinging. I would jump up and down on it.
Now, Junior, don't jump up and down. You're right over the wheel.
I had over the wheel? That's all right. I would just jump up and down once. Here I go, Mary. I can stand up the rest of the way, Mary. Hey, where are we going in that taxi car, Mary?
To the bus station. We're going to visit Grandma.
Yes?
And listen, Junior, I want you to be a good boy. You know, Grandma doesn't like little boys.
I know, but she sure acts silly when she gets around a big one, don't she, Mom?
Junior, how come you're so smart?
Well, ever since you cut off me long curls, me widow chummed have been telling me things. You had to stop to quit?
Pardon me, Miss Carrie Begg?
Hey, you let go of me here. That's me.
I'm sorry. Pardon me, Miss Carrie Begg?
No, never mind. I'll carry it. It isn't heavy.
It will be, because I'm going to straddle it and ride it bareback.
You know, I've lost better things than him in a crap game.
Yeah. Where do you think I got him?
Nah, Mommy. You stop there and you said... The stork brung me to you.
I didn't say he brung you. I said he flung you at me.
Oh, looky, Mummy. A little kitty cat. Look what I got, Mummy. A kitty cat.
Oh, say. Wait a minute, son. That tail ain't no handle.
No, but it will do. Hey, Mummy, can I have...
Now, what do you want a cat for? We've already got a nice, vicious dog picked out for you.
Yeah. Now, you let me have him or I would tell.
You'll tell what?
I would tell everybody that you retread tires with a waffle iron. Now, I want that cat.
Oh, now, wait a minute. You don't want to take my cat, Jake, away, do you?
Yes, I do. We got a lot of mice at our home.
Oh, Junior, we don't have a single mouse in the place.
You said it. They're all married and got large families.
Junior, don't be so silly. Mice don't get married.
Maybe not, but I know a couple that are going steady.
Junior, now you sit here, and I'll go buy the ticket.
Okay.
And don't run out on the tracks and wreck a bus.
Now, what did you say that for? I was going to surprise you.
That's enough of that, Junior. You just sit here. And okay. Remember, no panhandling while I'm gone.
Okay. Well, here I am, all alone. Look at this well-dressed man. I will go up to him. Hey, mister.
Yes, what is it, Sonny?
Could you spare $65 for a cup of coffee?
$65 for a cup of coffee? Why?
I like sugar in mine.
Say, little boy, have your parents ever thought of bundling you to Britain?
I could answer that, but it would only lead to bloodshed. Well, goodbye, mister. If I've said anything to offend you, go jumping awake.
Meow.
Oh, look, there's that little pussycat again. I wonder if I could ride on his back like a horse. He looks strong. He's nice and fat. If I do, I did a whipping. I do it. I will get on that pussycat back and play like a racehorse. There we
are.
Junior, what are you doing? Playing racehorse with that cat?
Yeah, but I ain't going to do that again, boy. Boy, I never do that again. I know what they mean at Santa Anita now when they say somebody has been scratched.
Thank you.
Say, Red,
yes.
How would you like to be in the advertising business?
Advertising? With all those pretty girls? Oh, boy.
Now, Red, there's more to advertising than pictures of pretty girls.
Oh, yeah?
Take Raleigh cigarette advertising. Millions of people do take Raleigh advertising and profit from it. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the magnificent premiums you get with Raleigh cigarette coupons are actually a form of Raleigh cigarette advertising. These luxury items are bought and paid for out of our profits, just as any other form of advertising. Yes, we spend our advertising money with you because we believe it's a sound way of making and keeping friends. And moreover, the silverware, electric clocks, bridge tables, or any of the 70 other magnificent premiums you get with Raleigh coupons stand as dramatic, tangible proof that Raleighs do give you more for your money. First of all, a finer cigarette, made with the choicer, more expensive golden tobaccos, the very finest that modern equipment and scientific manufacture can produce. And secondly, you get a plus value in the form of useful luxury premiums that pleasantly remind you over and over again that it pays in many ways to smoke Raleighs. The pack with the coupon on the back. Raleigh cigarettes.
To get back now to people and their pets, let's go out west to a ranch and peep in on a man who loves chickens, especially fried chicken, and somebody else's chicken at that. Deadeye and his wife have just retired for the night, but he left the chicken coop door open.
Deadeye, wake up. Wake up, Deadeye. I heard something. Wake up. There's somebody in the backyard. It's probably a peeping Tom.
Well, so what? I was a peeping Tom once.
Yeah, what happened?
I peeked when I should have tommed.
Say, Deadeye, you ain't scared, are you? Well, are you? Take your head out from under the covers and answer me.
All right, I'm up. Gosh, it's dark in here.
Light the light before you bump into something.
Now, don't tell me what to do. I know what I'm doing.
What are you doing?
Breaking my leg. Gosh, I'm pretty sleepy. This daylight savings, you know. Yeah, I'll just look out the window. I guess I'm sleepier than a fort. Well, here's my trusty shotgun. Wonder what happened to the watchdog.
There he is in the corner, asleep.
Yeah, I'd wake him up, but he's not too friendly toward me anyway. Wish that big old dog liked me more.
Why don't you throw him a bone?
Hmm?
I said, why don't you throw the dog a bone?
Now, don't look at my head when you say that. Come on, boy, bring me the bone. Come on now, bring the bone to me. No, bring the bone to me, not me to the bone. I'll just sneak out the back door and see what's going on in that hen house.
Now, be careful, and be sure to watch out for that clothesline I got strung up.
What makes you think I'd run into a clothesline? Well, I guess I'd better get down from here. Somebody will mistake me for a pair of drawers. Well, there's the chicken coop, and the door's open. Who's in there? Who's in that chicken coop?
Nobody, just us roosters.
It's the first time I ever heard a rooster with a Dixie accent. Now, you come out of there with your hands up.
What, and drop all these chickens?
So it's you, huh? What's your name?
Oh, everybody just calls me Cottonhead.
They do? What for?
I don't know. Maybe it's because I got a cottonhead.
You know, you shouldn't disturb my hens. It's almost time for them to start laying their eggs.
It is?
Sure. When the alarm goes off, they start off right down the line. That's Frigacy. She has a little iron in her blood. I I've seen you around here before, boy. Where do you work?
At the laundry.
Yeah, how are things at the laundry?
Dirty.
You know, I used to work down at the laundry.
What did you do?
I was the head stiff in the starch department. Where do you live?
Oh, I sort of reclines around here on the next ranch.
So you're stealing my chickens, huh?
Oh, no, sir. Go away from me, chicken. Stop following me under my coat.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Now, what are you doing in that chicken coop if you ain't stealing?
You is the most suspicious man.
Come on, boy. You're going with me down the sheriff's office.
Oh, mister, please don't turn me in. Think of my wife and 8 little children.
You got 8 children?
No, sir, but she has. You see, I moved there after the improvements was already in. Hey, you look like a sporting man. Why don't you give me a chance? Let's roll some African golf, double or nothing.
Oh, yeah? You got dice there, huh? Well, I don't know much about these gambling games, but, okay. Well, that's it.
Now, will you please move off of my property?
Nelson and the orchestra have just played one of George Gershwin's great hits, Strike Up the Band. But there is another great hit which we would like to tell you about.
Pipe smokers, for a new high in pipe smoking pleasure, try Sir Walter Raleigh. It's smooth and mild, expertly blended from extra choice Burleys to give you the full enjoyment you deserve. Sir Walter Raleigh has a nut-like mellowness, a full tangy richness. It burns even and smooth, never bites your tongue. With all of this, a pleasing He-Man aroma makes Sir Walter Raleigh welcome everywhere. It's the quality pipe tobacco of America. Try Sir Walter Raleigh tonight.
Remember, we'll all be back again next Tuesday at the same time. Red Skelton, Ozzie Nelson and his orchestra, Harriet Hilliard, Wonderful Smith, and your announcer, Truman Bradley. Until next Tuesday, then.
This is Red Skelton saying goodbye now. Thanks for listening.
Red Skelton is heard on this program through the courtesy of the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studio. This program came to you from Hollywood.
Thank you for joining us on this memory trail of old-time radio for this week. We'll be back next week with some more great memories for you. And this doesn't have to be farewell for all that period of time. Remember, you can go to oldtimeradiolisten.com and catch up on all the favorite shows that that are playing there. But for us, we're back next week at this time, so don't miss it. Until then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.